Martha regarded herself skeptically and assumed skepticism from the other mothers at the table. She had too many children, 4, and not for a discernible reason, religion, twins. She was too young, 28. She was disordered and apologetic. She made stuffed baby toys out of felt and organic wool. Her breasts leaked through old tank tops. She was blonde, but not seductively so. Freckled and angular, snub-nosed. A child, pinkish, pedaling a bike home from a violin lesson, earnest and a little sad. Her breasts were leaking. Denton was probably carrying their crying youngest through the house, cursing lavishly. "I know this is going to be a difficult one, but we need to talk to the family," Bronwyn was saying, "and ask them if they can route the car somewhere else or just have her walk to the car." Bronwyn paused, one hand tugging at a handful of her long hair, thinking. They waited. "That might be even better if the car was on a different street. We've got the chalk drawing on their street, and the lemonade, and the bake sale, and one of the bands, and Martha's craft table. They'll have to understand this is a community event. It's for the whole community. I'm sure they'll understand." "But it's her wedding," Martha said, louder than she meant to. "It's a shame, isn't it? It's her wedding." Bronwyn, Marley, and Allison looked at her, and she looked back at them over the table in Bronwyn's kitchen, and then down at her hands, laid in front of her amidst the mugs of tea, the lists and phones and plate of cookies. Outside, she could hear Noah and Max playing. Martha smiled often as a cover for sleeplessness, even though she felt the same watchful, aggrieved boredom as the other mothers. She was praised for her cheerfulness. The women surrounding her, on or beside park benches, in yards and community centers, at school pickups, on her street, calling greetings from the open windows of their cars or their open screen doors, appeared to her competent and discerning. Sure of their authority, not bewildered as Martha was by having to find enough mittens to go around, by remembering to bring sunscreen to the park. They complained freely, and their complaints seemed more justified than her own. She had not endangered a career or an artistic practice in order to raise children. Her memory before Noah's birth went as far as the first half of a degree in history. After, diapers, splatters of yogurt, little jars of fruit mush, tears, mysterious stains. The other women seemed to have had more time to consider the question of what they wanted. They had refined and elaborated on that question, as if it was a problem that could be solved. Her own problem was Noah. 8, loner, lonely, prone to abrupt rage. At first they said he was like his father, but Denton had a friendliness and self-assurance that made her shrug off the swearing, the jumpiness. Denton could not shut a door quietly. He was big, jovial, already balding. His whole back and his arms blue-black with ink. Bronwyn had a few tasteful tattoos along her back and shoulders, delicate as leaf veins, which Martha envied. She wasn't certain enough to get something as declarative as a tattoo. Denton drank a few beers with dinner, but it made him fond and sentimental. He roared at the children, and they laughed. He was liked. She liked him. He liked himself. Noah was different. Thin and taut, his blue eyes frantic, his hair sticking up in light brown tufts. At 6 months, he screamed if she tried to put him down, and yet being touched seemed to hurt him too. She dreaded changing him so much that once she'd put it off until there were red wheels on his bum and the creases of his thighs. She was 20 years old. Noah was sly now. He said mean things, cried if another child stared too hard in the playground, hit children running past. There were meetings with the teacher, the principal, conversations in the yard that changed when Martha approached. She did not want to seem defensive. She could not defend. She lay in bed, picturing his red-rimmed, too wide eyes. He was not invited to the houses of classmates after school. He was not summoned to birthday parties. Bronwyn's son Max, a year older, was his one friend,